Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2 for 1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And today we are talking about the first two episodes of Loki. But before we get into that, we are brought to you by Kapow Comics, located in Sherwood, Arkansas, at 4047 East Kill Avenue. And of course, they have, as Daniel alluded to, they have comics, collectibles, graphic novels, and even special guest appearances. I know one of the ones they've announced recently is David Yost, the original Blue Ranger from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers television show. So it's pretty cool. So go check those guys out, and they would love to have your business, and we would love to see you guys in there.
Daniel, support local comic shops. We don't have enough of them.
We really don't.
Go away
really
too often. Support them.
We're going to talk about Loki's episode 1 and 2 today. I know that this is something that, you know, when they were announcing in Disney Plus X amount of years ago and during these investor meetings and all that stuff, Loki, especially when that trailer dropped, it's been one of your most anticipated and one of my most anticipated.
I'm excited. No, I mean, I remember when we were talking about WandaVision and to me, I think Tom Hiddleston is he's in the upper echelon league of just quality actors in the MCU. There's a ton of them, but then like, I feel like Tom Hiddleston and I'd probably put, you know, Elizabeth Olsen in there, but like, they're just a bit better. I don't know. They just kind of own the screen. And like, for me, Tom Hiddleston steals every scene he's ever in. Doesn't right. In every Avengers movie and all of them, he is the best, usually the best part of every scene he's in. And to get an entire show of this with Owen Wilson and this great back and forth, just buddy cop slash, like, it's just, it's wonderful. I'm so happy with the show so far. The only part I'm sad with is only 6 episodes and we're already 2 into it. That is going to be sad, but man, not speaking totally to episode 2 yet. And, you know, we were seeing these headlines and stuff about how it's going to have drastic impact on the, you know, wide range of the MCU universe. It definitely is. I feel like living up to that promise so far, if, you know, the kind of threads that it is pulling are going to be, you know, seen to fruition.
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned like probably my favorite aspect of the show so far, which is Owen Wilson. And of course, Tom Hiddleston is an amazing actor and he doesn't, I feel like he's not in enough things. Like, I feel like I'm like, oh, Tom Hiddleston's in this. And like, that's great. Like, you know, this is, I'm talking more blockbuster here, but like Kong Skull Island, you know, he's done that. Mm. And I really enjoyed him that movie. And I wish he would be in more things that are bigger. That, you know, he had his own other franchises besides Loki, just because I enjoy the actor so much.
Listen, I think he could do a great Bond.
He could.
I know he's had rumors of it. I think he would do a really good Bond.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me paint you a picture real quick, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of tee up our viewers. And I'm sure if they've watched the show, they know it. And if they haven't, then they'll kind of understand where the show's going.
Why are you here if you're watching the show?
Exactly. But last time we saw Loki in the MCU feature films was in the beginning of Avengers Endgame. And he is killed by Thanos after trying to kill Thanos after acquiring one of the Infinity Stones. And then we know that the last time we see him is in the time travel moment when the Avengers go back in time to also full spoilers ahead for Loki episodes 1 and 2 and for Endgame and X-Men.
Of course.
Why
would you be here? Did not know that or were already caught up. Come on.
Yeah, 100%. So the Avengers go back in time to 2012 during the New York incident to get the Tesseract and bring it back to stop Thanos' snap, right? And during this moment, they accidentally lose the Tesseract. And while Loki's in chains, he grabs the Tesseract and they botched that particular part of the mission. And ever since then, there has been numerous articles and YouTube videos and theories, even amongst us, about what happened to Loki. Where did Loki go? That's a threat that they ignored. And we knew better that they didn't ignore it. It was just a story for another time, as they say. And we obviously, Kevin Feige and them announced that they were having the show Loki, and they were going to explain exactly what happened to this version of Loki. And here we are now. So we know that the first episode starts off with Loki being captured.
They start off with that scene.
Right.
They start off with the scene from Endgame and right. showing that happening. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we know that Loki is teleported using the Tesseract to the desert, and he is picked up by the TVA, the Time Variance Authority. Mm. And there we are brought, basically the first episode is understanding who the TVA is, how the multiverse, at least how it's kept in check. And basically the overarching arc for what we think the show will be about. So Daniel,
we introduced the timekeepers and, right. And I mean the biggest, I mean, obviously the core of the show was a Loki's character development and kind of taking this 2012 Loki from Avengers and catching him up to kind of the more fully rounded, you know, more, you know, anti-hero Loki that we had at the end of Thor Ragnarok. Right. And I think it did a fantastic job of that. I mean, I think again that you're right. The Owen Wilson and his chemistry is just, it's gold. I just want to watch them in scenes together forever. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like just the, it's just Loki's, you know, ego mixed with Owen Wilson's like sarcasm and just like, you know, not taking almost feels like he's never taking anything seriously. Like it just works so well. But yeah, I mean the scenes with Loki when he's watching, you know, when he sits down with Mobius and they're like recapping his life. And, you know, I just, the questions that Mobius was even asking him and like trying to dig deep into Loki's motivations just felt so poignant and real. To me, like, it just felt like, oh, this is a show that's really like taking a character and like sitting down and having like real world questions, not just like, oh, well, why are you so evil? You know, it just is like, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you hurting people? What, do you like this? Like, it just is like, it's like therapy questions. Like, this is seriously like the kind of questions you get asked in therapy, and to kind of break down Loki's own idea of himself. To realize, just to have that, even that moment of just kind of self-realization that was at the end of the episode when he kind of talks about, you know, it's a tactic used by the weak to, you know, scare the strong or whatever he says, man, it just, to me, it just hit on every cylinder. It really did. Like, I loved it. I loved episode one so much.
Yeah. I mean, I did too. I mean, it was a great character study into the character itself. I mean, like you said earlier, Loki, you know, he's never been the main character in a show, and he's always been in scenes mainly prevailing throughout the Thor movies more than anything. And it was interesting, definitely, if like they put themselves in a position where Loki had, up until this point in the MCU, went through at least a character arc where he seemed more compassionate. He cared. You see more about him caring about his mother, his brother, and we got all that character development and condensed into one episode. It is. But I still think that this, at the end of the day, this Loki is still different than the Loki that we had in Endgame, and I think that that's an important thing going forward, especially for Owen Wilson and or Mobius's character. And no, it's interesting. I think it's,
yeah, I agree. I
think it's great. But I do want to talk about, let's talk about some big hitting things here, because you know, WandaVision, even Endgame opened up a whole hornet's nest. WandaVision seemed like it broke it up even more. Falcon Winter Soldier is very much grounded and didn't really ask these big picture questions. But Loki seems like they're tackling this thing. You know, I feel like we learned more in Loki in the first episode than we did almost in terms of the state of the universe than the whole thing of WandaVision.
No, I mean, Loki feels like it is directly setting up the main arc of the next, at least, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be just the next phase or two or just the next, you know, kind of saga, you know, because the Infinity Saga was three phases. So I mean, this show though, it feels like, I mean, especially once we get to episode two directly, is explaining almost in layman's terms how all this works, right? And I think it's kind of brilliant in that way too, that they're kind of positioning it in kind of this like white collar, you know, cubicle style office, like, and then this is what controls the timeline, right? And so they just make it almost like dry, you know, like just kind of cut and dry. Oh yeah, this is just how it works, and blah 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 blah. And I think it it makes it really, to me, easy to understand. Like, obviously, there's still a lot of mystery. Like, you know, are the timekeepers still alive? Or what's their deal? You know what I mean? But yeah, I feel like it is. It's like a very smart, intelligent way to get us into this idea of multiverses and what created that or started that or what they are or what is the one single, you know, honestly, yeah. It's kind of starting to really explain the can of worms that Endgame opened with time travel. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And, well, yeah, let's yeah, no, you're right. Let's dive a little deeper here. So the way, at least how I took it, and I feel like I took it, how they literally explained it to us was that the universe either was in chaos, multiple different universes, X, Y, and Z, and these timekeepers basically brought it down to one universe, right? So we have the prime, and I'm going to call it, we can call it the prime universe just to make things simple here. And what do they call it? The sacred timeline?
Yeah.
So we can call it that. Since that's what they use, that's what we'll use, the sacred timeline. And from that, we have different events happening where different branches are happening, much like the Avengers creating branch realities from taking the time stones and all that stuff.
Just like the master, the ancient one shows Hulk in Endgame, where she's like, if you do this, this splinters off into a new timeline. Yeah.
And so basically the TVAs, their job is to keep in the timekeepers, at least the timekeepers' view of how things should play out, at least, or not even how the review should play out, the safest possibility, that way things, their existence doesn't break in total, I guess, would be the better way to put about it, maybe.
Sure.
And so Owen Wilson is basically a detective, and he's a cop, and, you know, he is trying to figure out these time variances, and Loki being one of them, and put things back in order. And immediately, there's all kinds of things that start happening that are at least troublesome in terms of, not even troublesome, but like open up a can of worms. And you said one earlier, are the timekeepers even around? Are they alive? Who are they, the ones actually that created this? And
because
I think Loki may have mentioned this in episode 2, or even Owen Wilson asked the judge in episode 1, like, what's their will? Like, or, you know, what are they up to, or where are they at? And she just kind of like brushes off, like, I know what they want or need, all these other kind of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm paraphrasing here, but
yeah,
but it's very much like, to me, that's a thing that will absolutely be at least answered in some form. I that kind of thing. Also, you know, the way that it was kind of broken down in Endgame was that the Infinity Stones are, if they were removed from the timeline, then it starts creating branch realities and they have to be returned to keep the timeline intact. But then you have Infinity Stones brought up as paperweights, right?
Yeah.
And those seem like variances of Infinity Stones.
Well, yeah, so, you're absolutely right. It kind of contradicts what even the Ancient One said in a weird way, right? Like, kind it's of. Like, oh, but does it? And you know, even I feel like, obviously, we know that big things are happening. I mean, even, you know, WandaVision still seeded ideas of multiverse reality stuff, even if it, you know, kind of boned us, if you catch my drift. Ralph boned us, might I say. And we know that she's showing up again in Doctor Strange 2, which is the multiverse of madness. There it is. And I mean, Doctor Strange is the keeper of the time stone. He went forward in time in Infinity War to watch the various possible outcomes of the Infinity War, right? Like, obviously, he's got to have some idea of these guys, I would think. Like, Doctor Strange can't be oblivious to the TVA, to the timekeepers, or whatever, at least some idea of what's going on. And again, that just means, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of direct reference to him at some point in the show, whether that's kind of like a stinger at the end, which I could totally see happening, or of like Doctor Strange arriving at the aftermath of whatever goes down, or whatever this looks like. I don't know. I just, it's, to me, this is the most exciting show, because to me, it is playing into so many of the other things we've seen so far. And so much of what we're excited, I mean, even Spider-Man No Way Home, right? Like, the idea of multiple Peter Parkers, you know, the idea of, I mean, fuck, you know, we know that, you know, Doc Ock is coming. Like, it can't not connect to that stuff. There's just almost impossible for the show not to. And that is so exciting. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yes, this feels like we're finally putting like rubber to the road in terms of all these exciting ideas we've been talking about. This is like the beginning. This is the kinder that's going to start the flame, right? Like this is really where it's going to kick off. I'm so excited for where it's going. Cause I have no clue, to be honest. Like I feel like this is almost the biggest mystery at the same time of like, I really don't know. I mean, I've done just a slight bit of research into some of these characters and comic stuff, but like Marvel deviates from that stuff so frequently anyway to do their own thing. I'm just like, I have no idea how this is going to end up or what's going to be the ultimate consequences of it.
I'll tell you right now what it's going to be, Daniel. And I've been saying it almost every episode for about a year now, and I'm gonna say it again. Just based on alone when Miss Minutes, who I love, is describing the multiverse and the chaoticness of it and its potential break if this gets too out of hand. I mean, the last Secret Wars we had in the comics was directly involved with the multiverses imploding on themselves. Mm. And they were imploding on themselves, and it ended up where Dr. Doom takes a handful of people and basically makes a battle world, and he becomes the king of it. And these other characters, we have multiple Thors, we have Marvel Zombies, we have all these other things, and they are basically unaware of previous histories. And, you know, some characters do know, and they have to kind of basically iron out this new universe and basically be reborn, right? And obviously it's a mechanism to restart your universe and combine other things for a comic standpoint. But again, I've been saying this for a while. I mean, if you know, again, we were boned with Ralph Boner and WandaVision, that would have been the perfect first setup there. We just need to
start calling that Bonered. If we get bait and switched in anything now, we're like, oh man, fuck, you know, Warner Brothers Bonered us.
You're right.
On Superman or whatever, you know, whatever. That's just going to be the new verb for that.
Yeah, it should
starting
be.
Now.
And this was
so
the
say like, it, so I say it, so shall it be.
Right. So we know that before the casting announces ahead of time, like you said, Doc Ock, and obviously the smoke, there's fire situation with Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Spider-Man No Way Home. There's different versions, right? And we know that now. Officially, like in order of like it coming out to our houses, Loki has different variations of Loki. So now we know that a multiverse, that this is actually how it can work, where there's different versions of characters. Right. So I, again, for me, it's all leading to Secret Wars. It's all leading to Tony's return for one movie, to all these other cool things.
Of course, yeah. It will.
And anyway, that's the big picture stuff. But before we get there, I think. We kind of hit the hell on the head on the nail here in terms of what episode one's all about. I don't know.
It's okay.
Just, and nail on the head. And you know, this episode's great, and it, you know, it has a great cinematography, great style.
You mentioned Seven as a rep, feels like the color palette of Seven inside the TVA. And I do want to shout out the music. Whatever the theme music is, it is gorgeous, and it has this like wonderful like synthy like almost like sci-fi video, like, you know, like the way it almost sounds like one of those old like the old like UFO noises they used to do, like in like old like 50s UFO like movies and stuff, alien movies, but it's got a pitch to it, and it's just beautiful. When they've used it both times in each episode, it's just been like, shit, that is a unique sounding and just kind of really gorgeous theme music.
Sorry. Before we get into, no, it's great. I agree with you. Before we get into episode two, is there any like standout moments, or at least one standout moment that you really love that we hadn't talked about? Mine obviously was Loki's realization that the Infinity Stones mean nothing here, and that his hierarchy in the universe is greatly diminished compared to what he thought it was. That was a standout moment for me. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously I mentioned him kind of watching himself on that, but I honestly, when he watches Thanos kill him, and he like goes die, and he laughs and like says glorious purpose, and just kind of that ironic like, I'm a dumbass, you know, kind of like, I can't even believe I thought I had glorious purpose, you know, kind of thing. Like, I just thought that was such a great moment of like self realization and kind of self-honesty that, again, I mean, like, even in Thor, I mean, Loki's journey, you know, in the prime timeline, the sacred timeline, he rarely had those kinds of moments where he was just kind of honest with himself, and it kind of took us movies and everything to get there. But yeah, I just loved that moment. I thought, yeah, it just was great.
Yeah. And the title of the episode is Glorious Purpose.
Yes.
But before we get into episode two, I do want to take a small section here out of the podcast and give a shout out to our friends over at the Geek Squared Show. They've prepared a little trailer for us. And if you haven't, go check them out. And here's a little sneak peek of them right now.
Hey, you, listen here for a minute. I'm Tilly.
And I'm Emma.
And we have a podcast called The Geek Squared Show.
We are two cousins and lifelong friends who geek out over popular movies, TV shows, video games, pretty much anything goes. It's the show where we talk about the things that we talk about.
Do you like taking deep dives into the conspiracy theories of your favorite movies?
Tilly's got you covered. Do you ever think about how real life events inspire your favorite stories?
Does art imitate life, or does life imitate art?
Do you also like video games and musicals? Those are all me.
We release new episodes every Monday, so you can start your week off with something nice.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up The Geek Squared Show, all spelled out, no numbers.
We are 8 eyes,
4 brain cells,
2 cousins,
and 1 amazing podcast.
Thank you for watching with your ears, and enjoy the rest of your podcast.
Have a great day.
And we're back again. If you haven't, go check out the Geek Squared Show. They're really cool people, and they have a great podcast. Go check them out, give them a listen, and tell them we sent you. Anyway, let's talk about episode 2 of Loki. It is called The Variant, and we were teased at the end of episode 1 that the big bad of the show would be a variation of Loki himself. Obviously there was some interesting setup there because Loki was in at the end of episode 1, this variant was in like a cloak and shrouded in mystery, and
they didn't show the face, and so there was obviously something of a twist on it.
Yeah. Right. And it's one thing, like, everyone kind of blew up the internet, like this big twist and stuff. And for me, I didn't think for one second this was a twist or anything out of the norm, that it ended up being a female version of Loki, just because. And
no,
I mean, yeah, I
thought, I mean, like, yeah, I didn't know it would be the female, but I knew it was going to be some alternate version, you know, to Loki. I mean, they had already set that up kind of in discussions earlier in the episode about like certain characters looking different in different timelines or being different. And so, yeah, I mean, the fact that it was a female, I think is cool. It's interesting. I know I did a little, like, I get into some like really light comic research on female Loki, and it sounds cool. Like, it all sounds really interesting. And I'm interested in how it will all, you know, play out. But yeah, I mean, like, this episode was good. It definitely had a different kind of pacing almost to the other one. I you know, him just kind of sitting around at the desk and talking to Miss Minutes as she like jumped around and stuff like that. And it was obviously kind of the whole episode we are as well as like the TVA trying to kind of discern, what is Loki really doing? Is he really trying to help us? Is he really trying to betray? What is, you know, he's here to help supposedly, but he keeps, you know, stalling, or, you know, whatever he's doing. But yeah, I mean, the crux of the episode obviously is the end, and what happens at the end with, you know, female Loki setting off the bombs in the timeline. I mean, everything builds to that, and that's the payoff, and it's really cool, really great payoff.
Yeah. I mean, and no pun intended, it adds a ticking clock to the whole, the season now, right? We know that there's going to be multiple different timelines could be branching off, and that the sacred timeline is reaching a potential critical mass here before things get fucked up. Right. You brought up a thing there about pacing. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I'm really glad we had it, but there was something here that was a little off for me compared to episode 1. And I think part of it was just, even though I love Owen, or at least Mobius and Loki's back and forth, it kind of felt like they were hitting some similar beats that we had in episode 1. That was kind of like, yeah, I already get your dynamic and your relationship. And I'd kind of wish we'd already decided, you know, is Loki helping or is he not helping? Because it kind of had this like back and forth here of like, even Mobius almost changing his, like, not opinions, but like, I want you to come, I don't want you to come. And it was just kind of like, I don't know. There was something there that was kind of throwing me off a little bit. And I was kind of like, oh, I feel like we did this first episode. Like, I want to get to the meteor things.
Yeah, I know. I see what you mean. There was a little bit of redundancy maybe in conversation. I agree. But I think, again, once we got to the payoff and once you saw that sacred timeline and all the splits kind of coming off of it, like, it was just like that payoff was so cool and is like inspired so much excitement for whatever comes next that it's like I kind of was able to forgive all that and really like love the episode as a whole because of that, I think.
Yeah.
But I agree.
I was gonna say, I think part of my problem is, and this is a good problem to have, is my issues with Falcon Winter Soldier, in which some of the pacing kind of felt different because I'm like, I'm very impatient, no pun intended, with like,
right,
I want more and I don't want to wait till the next episode and I want answers and I want big picture things to be happening. I think part of it because we had so much big picture stuff in that first episode, but I think going back and when you have the ability to watch episode 1 through 6 in one big thing, it probably feels,
I agree,
probably feels much, much better than how it did this last week.
And I'm not worried about, I mean, cause this show is already not doing what Falcon and Winter Soldier's problem, which was focus. Falcon and Winter Soldier was trying to focus on 5 different kind of narrative threads that were all central to the show. And this feels very much like one focus, you know, it's Loki and the timeline. And that's kind of the whole focus of the show and the consequences of that. I mean, I think, do we want to get into some speculation?
I was going to say just big picture things, and you kind of hit on the head here, is they're trying to find out where this variant, other variant Loki is and what their, you know, objective is, and they're kind of setting traps. Loki is being mischievous and you know, maybe potentially messing with the TVA or not. Mobius is meeting with the judge, who I feel like they've had a romantic connection, or they're at least flirting with each other. There's obviously some interesting existential questions brought up about Loki questioning Owen Wilson or Mobius. I keep calling him Owen Wilson. Mobius's like journey or character or what his wants and needs are. And obviously that stuff's in play. And the big thing kind of culminates in where Loki does kind of figure out where he would hide in the past or the future, which is the moment before apocalyptic event. Which it was cool seeing them in, was it the Himalayas or I can't remember
when they went
was.
To Pompeii.
Pompeii, yeah. So
he starts saying like, "Yeah, you guys are all dead," and like just that was pretty funny. That was pretty.
It was fun and it was great visually, and Owen Wilson even, you know, like
the chemistry was
him.
Great. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was great. Let's real quick sidestep. I love the meme. Every time this happens, anything pop culture happens, we get great memes, but I feel like we get the best memes from these Marvel movies, like Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision and now Loki. We have some of the greatest memes coming out.
What is the Loki
shows.
Meme that's been hit?
Well, this Owen Wilson, like his get this man a jet ski and stuff like that, you know, like these great little things are just, they're fantastic.
Yeah. I agree.
But it all culminates into, looks like the future, 2000, I can't remember, 50 or something like this, where this female Loki variant is hiding there, and it turns out it's a trap for the TVA, and she's setting off these time bombs that can go off at once. And at the very end of the episode, Loki jumps through. And it kind of gives you the sense that Loki, oh, he could be turning bad, at least from the TVA's perspective, but I don't think for one second, you know, he's doing anything nefarious by jumping through the portal. I think it's more of a, I'm trying to track down. There you are. Now you're in focus.
I was like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, no, I was watching. I'm sure his main reasoning, and at least he'll explain to Mobius, is I was trying to get her. She was going through the portal, and it was our last chance sort of situation. You know, so.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that was more me.
I agree, and I think. I mean, I honestly think whatever the consequences of this, they're still going to need Loki's help, right?
Right.
To clean whatever up. So I'm not worried too much on that. I do think, though, I mean, like, honestly, my big theory here, and it's one kind of what the ultimate result of this could be, is like there's some deep possible comic connections with Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom, with the Timekeepers even. At one point, one of the Timekeepers was named Immortus. Who also went by Kang the Conqueror at one point. And we have been, you know, there's been a lot of rumors that Kang the Conqueror could be the next kind of Thanos level threat in the MCU. Yeah.
He will be in Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is called Quantumania.
He will be in it. We know that for sure.
He is the villain, and the guy who is in Lovecraft, Lovecraft Country is the main guy in that is Kang the Conqueror. And yeah, it is heavily rumored we will see Kang in this show. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and obviously him, you know, being at one point a part of the Timekeepers connects him directly to it. I know in the comics he's like, it's speculated like he was actually a descendant of Dr. Doom because he comes from kind of an alternate history Earth. And so like there's obviously deep connect. He fights the Fantastic Four and the Avengers in the comics kind of in big, you know, moments. So it feels like we could definitely be leaning towards that. Now I still think there's a good possibility that that's still like the precursor to the Secret Wars stuff. You know, like that's right. Like that's kind of like the Avengers, you know, Loki level threat in Avengers 2012. Or who knows, maybe it's like Doctor Doom and then him and for them him then and then Doctor Doom and then Secret Wars stuff. I don't know. Well, Doctor Doom is Secret Wars, I guess. So
he's like the last Secret Wars. I mean, yeah. There's been multiple Secret Wars events happen. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, that's just so exciting. Because it feels like the other thing about this show is that it's like deep, deep, deep nerdy shit lore. You know what I mean? This is like, I know Marvel has been for a while taking these obscure characters like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and these people that no one knew about, you know, outside of just comic fans and making them household names, but this feels like it's reaching even deeper into like the well of nerddom in lore and comics. Like we're getting now into like, I mean, like, you know, in the comics, like this has all to do, like this is like creation mythos at times, like the Timekeepers and He Who Remains is who apparently like in the comics created the Timekeepers, and that his name is He Who Remained. Like he kind of created the timeline, the universe, however you want to think about it. So it's like, this is getting into like creation mythos for the MCU, which is just super, super cool to me. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't get any deeper than this. I mean, this is the bottom of the well. I mean, in terms of like MCU or just even Marvel Comics lore, when you start getting the Timekeepers, you start getting to the Eternals, you start getting into like, you know, I can't think of the name. Maybe it is an Eternal, but like the big head that's in Guardians of Galaxy 1, where it's called Nowhere, that planet. Yeah. All like when you start getting that far back, like Ego, that kind of stuff. And it doesn't go farther than that. Like you start seeing the Watchers and that kind of stuff. I mean, they're fixing they'll have a plethora of stories to tell forever. But if they start going beyond that, I think they will either have to make up their own stuff or whatever, because they had
and redo things in a different way almost. Yeah.
Yeah. But they have hit the barrier of going back. I mean, clearly we're hitting the dawn of time here. But no, I think you're right. I think 100% Kane the Conqueror. I know a lot of 100% on this show. I've been wrong multiple times with WandaVision and stuff like that. I think it's a good chance we'll see Kane the Conqueror in this. I don't think the Timekeepers are alive or around.
Yeah,
I don't even know if, you know, I think Owen Wilson, it's almost like, I think all those people were probably not even maybe indoctrinated, or maybe like, it's kind of weird that they're, why adopt a 19 human?
They're almost kind of enslaved. I feel like it almost feels like a sense of like they can't escape, or like they are like, he only exists there and they only all like, they never leave and they only, you know, it doesn't seem like they go home anywhere. You know, I mean, they kind of always.
But it's also interesting. Right? Yeah, but it's like, I mean, here's other just questions on top of my head. Why like a 1950s, 1960s aesthetic for the hub of that controls all the time? Right. Why humans? Why not any aliens in there? Why? Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, that's all valid.
I mean, like, is it because, and even then, like you would say, well, it's to, maybe it's whoever's in the time, the TVA.
It adapts to them.
Yeah, but Loki's not a human. He's an Asgardian. He looks like a human, but he's around all kinds of crazy creatures and stuff.
He really wouldn't have any reference for the 1950s Americana, probably.
Yeah, other than not being much. D.B. Cooper in season right, one,
exactly,
which
exactly.
is fucking incredible.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
I mean, yeah, we do know that, like, based on even the first epilogue or first prologue for Thor 1, that Asgardians come down to Earth and they're worshipped as gods, and that they're in human history. They're just not, like, doing godlike right. things typically. So we do know, and it was nice to kind of, like, in that moment, nice to know that Loki had been to Earth and that he had been messing sure. around with stuff, and it that felt good. But yeah, I mean, it starts. It, a lot of things are being asked here, and I am curious to where it goes. I don't even know if, like, I think what you're saying is this Loki variant. I don't even know if she is the main bad guy. I think it could be.
I know exactly, Conqueror. Exactly, right? Or who knows? I mean, to me, there's a real chance we get a very direct, non-subtle Fantastic Four setup reference something in this show. You know what I mean? It feels like, you know, it's been announced long enough ago, and like. There's been all these rumblings with these other shows. And again, because of the whole Timekeeper connection to Kang, his connection to the Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. to Doctor Doom, it just seems like this would be a great time to even just name drop someone. You know what I mean?
I don't think, even though I was convinced with WandaVision, maybe I was just too hurt by that. I don't think we'll have a reference to the Fantastic Four other than maybe something like Doctor Doom. Even then, I don't know why we would need to see Dr. Doom yet.
I don't know if you see him. Maybe you hear him.
Maybe, but he doesn't. I mean, like, he definitely, I don't know.
They're probably going to do an mystic arts, for him, right? They're going to do an alchemy for him, I would assume.
Yeah, I see him appearing more in, like, Black Panther 2 versus this, you know, where he's, like, leading Latveria.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
And there's Namor.
That's a good point.
But I do see, like, Kang the Conqueror. I feel like that is our best first chance to see him, but then to tee up Ant-Man and the Wasp, or at least just like, or a reference to him, I could see. Because, like, to me, whenever the Timekeepers, the three of them are back there, I was immediately looking for Kang the Conqueror, like trying to see which one looked the most like Kang the Conqueror, and they obviously look pretty similar to what he looks like in the comics.
Yeah.
Not completely exact, but pretty close. Just the way, like, the structure of, like, the head mounts and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. One thing I think of is, like, what happens to this Loki after, let's say he wins. Let's say he wins.
Like, I mean, I think there's a good chance this is the last time we see Loki until the Secret War main event or something. Yeah. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I don't want that to be because I love Tom Hiddleston. I mean, I'd love him to be in Thor Love and Thunder still. I don't think we've heard. I mean, that's filming right now. I think we would probably be aware of it unless it's, you know, probably just a cameo. Yeah.
It's officially finished filming, and Taika was asked about it, and obviously he's not going to say the truth if it was happening, but he did say that has played out in the previous movies, and we're looking at different things now.
Which isn't wrong.
Yeah.
Every movie
with Thor has been the brother thing.
Well, then they've kind of completed that arc. Right?
Like, he died for Thor. I mean, you know,
and he came around, he was theirs again, and he died. And
which kind of begs the question then I ultimately want to ask is, what's his ultimate, other than just having fun and we're getting another show with Loki? Like, we saw Loki go from bad to good. What is Marvel going to do with him different? I mean, other than using him as a vessel for information.
I mean, I could see him making some kind of act that is like, maybe he sacrifices himself again in some other way, or maybe he doesn't, maybe he betrays them, maybe he, you know, I don't know, but him kind of his final kind of big action or moment of the series being, you know, what sets off the rest of the, you know, kind of threads that we're talking about with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I could see him just playing a big role in whatever comes after, even if he dies in the process, being like, the reason this all started was because of Loki, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, to his credit, he is what brought the Avengers together. Maybe he's what brings the next phase of Avengers together again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, or maybe he's what brings the next threat to the Avengers, kind of. Yeah. Like, he is what lets Kang know about Earth. Like, he is the one that makes Kang aware of Earth and the superheroes there, and makes him feel the need he has to go conquer it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a version there where he's like, you know what? I saw what good boy Loki, what he gets, and he gets death. So maybe I'm gonna double down. You know.
I could see that.
I mean, it does seem like, you know, obviously he was saying it out loud and he probably at least had ambitions for it before he was finally humbled in episode one, but he was kind of like, I'm going to be Lord of the time. I'm timekeepers. So obviously he thought it at least one point, but I don't know. It is interesting. I feel like no matter how they do it, he goes full bad. He goes full good again. Like, we are getting all these similar beats. The only big thing is, in Thor Ragnarok, he was still mischievous. He was still bad, but it did seem like he was turning a corner, and we got him for like 6 minutes as a good guy in Infinity War, like a full blown good guy.
Yeah.
Maybe they make him a good guy indefinitely, and you get more of that we really didn't get beforehand. That would be the most different thing I'd see we get.
Yeah.
That he's like,
I feel like he is kind of a little bit already there. Like, he, in some ways, has kind of, not completely, but given up on some of his selfish goals because he feels like they're impossible to obtain in some ways now. Like, he's kind of like, you know, when he's like, is this the ultimate power in the universe? When he's staring at that big TV screen with the timeline on it, you know, it's kind of like he's kind of given up hope of being able to rule over everything or his glorious purpose. I don't know. And I feel like that's maybe what we're trying to figure out. And they're kind of stringing along, is what is his new purpose now? What is he actually trying to get out of this? Is he just trying to not die, like get away and like just escape and get to live out his life somewhere? I mean, who knows?
Well, I mean, you brought up a good, but that actually sparked something in my head, is him trying to figure out his purpose is going to challenge Mobius's purpose. Cause it does seem like he has wants and needs, obviously a jet ski. Obviously he's attracted to this judge, and it's, you know, I feel like there's way more to Mobius than meets the eye. And I, you know, it could be them figuring out together in tandem, and who knows, maybe we'll get a season two of Loki where he's just fixing time.
There's stuff. No way. I mean, I'd love it, so. But I just don't see it. I don't think we're getting season twos of like any of the shows. I think they're one-offs.
It's possible. It's possible.
Getting one-offs. I think we'll keep getting, like, it'll just be next year. It'll be, you know, maybe we'll get a Doctor Strange series at some point after Doctor Strange 2, you know, or something like that.
And before we end this, we're almost done. What do you want out of the show? Like, what answers do you want? I guess you just kind of want overall big picture stuff, or?
Yeah, I mean, I want to kick off what's next. I want it to be kind of revealed, like, what the next kind of, I mean, I want the Thanos moment where we see him, you know, or like he says, I'll do it fine, I'll do it myself, or something like, you know, like that kind of thing where it's like, okay, this is the inciting incident of the next big long-term story, big picture story. Yeah. I mean, that's what I want. And I know we're not going to get all the information, but I feel like we're going to get maybe a pretty fair starting point, jumping off point for all that. And that's really what I'm hoping for.
You know, I obviously, yes, I want the big picture, big bad to come in. I want to see the fun stuff. But now that we are dealing with, you know, timelines and different multiverses, even though I know No Way Home is going to be showing this, is going to give us that itch. I know Multiverse of Madness is going to give us an itch. It almost feels like because those two are coming, that they would want to kind of save those kinds of surprises for those movies. But I still think there's an opportunity here to still give us some of that kind of stuff to kind of tee those up.
I'm not sure, though, because if that is what No Way Home is about, I mean, the trailers are going to at least hint at it. There's no way the trailers won't hint at some of what's going on when we finally get a trailer.
I think they will.
Right? I feel like I'm hoping instead of just saving surprises for those movies, they're setting things up so then those movies, they can just do like awesome legwork, kind of like just dig deep into these concepts and tell interesting stories within this without having to set things up for, you know, future movies and stuff. Like, it feels like a series is a good place to do that. And I hope what it is like this kind of opens the barrel. It's like multiverse stuff. And then like right after this series, we get the No Way Home trailer. And it's like, yep, here's where we're seeing that playing out next in Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you're on point. I mean, Sony typically releases trailers way in advance. I mean, they released a trailer for Far From Home during Endgame. It was like, hey, right. Here's spoilers for Endgame. You know,
that and kind when of is thing. Comic-Con?
The big like CDSC or SDCC Comic-Con. Typically, it falls in like July, August area.
July 23rd, July 25th.
Yeah,
I mean that's not going to be too many weeks after the end of Loki.
I don't think. I mean, it's possible, but really, Marvel has really kind of stayed away from Comic-Con.
Yeah, well, okay, but they had their thing. What's that Disney thing they do?
It's called Disney. Disney, not Disney Expo or Disney.
It's Disney XD. No,
it's it's called some D23. Yeah, yes. and but those typically happen later, like October, November kind of area. And I mean, bet your ass you're going to see Thor, Love and Thunder there. You're going to see definitely teases for you'll probably see maybe some more Spider-Man No Way Home then. But no, I mean,
absolutely.
I guess the thing I guess I'm trying to hit at is I wonder if my question here is then. Do you think we'll see some other alternate version characters, like, but played by the actors that we already know? Like, do you think we'll see like Chris Hemsworth as a different Thor? Like, that's what I'm kind of asking.
I mean, I think it's possible. If we see any of that stuff, I think it'll be like flash frame almost level things, you know, yeah. like just montage-y or, you know, kind of thing where we're not actually sitting any of those places very long. That's my guess.
I kind of feel like. And maybe it's because this is a show and they're stretching their proper, not thin, but they have other movies happen with these characters and actors are expensive.
Right, right.
Like this is the show where like they are dealing with multiverse things. And you think that because that thing is so big and broad that they would want to at least show you the possibilities with that, like within right. the tools of the MCU. But maybe they won't. Maybe they'll do what they're doing and recast actors and recast whatever, you know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. Anyway, how can our listeners write into us?
Listeners, you can write into us at bit.ly/241mail. There, let us know what your theories are, where exactly this is all going to play out, and what's the deal with Lady Loki? What's her deal? Just tell me her deal. So bit.ly/241mail.
And if you can't hit us up at our Bitly, of course, you can comment in the comment section below on YouTube, youtube.com/241studios, the place where we recommend that you consume all the content. And if you can't hit us up there, hit us up at 241studios.com and find all the cool and crazy things we have releasing each and every week. I do want to say next week is our big episode 80, and we have a special guest, Jess Carson, writer of The Flash. She will be on to talk about what it's like to be in the writer's room and how she got there. And it's a great conversation, and we look forward to you all to hear it. Daniel, it was a pleasure talking about Loki. I'm very excited for episode three upcoming week.
And let me just say, it's really nice to have a midweek show. Like, I'm really enjoying this Wednesday night kind of present midweek. It's like, right. Oh, wow, the week's halfway over, and now you get Loki. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're used to Fridays and stuff like that, but it's just kind of like, it almost makes me remember like what it used to be like watching TV, like as a kid when cable was a thing and you had to wait to every Wednesday or Tuesday for Lost to come on or whatever.
The only downside to it is that it's like, I know it comes out Wednesday, like basically Tuesday night. And I'm like, I want to watch it first thing Wednesday morning, but it's just kind of harder to do that than Wednesday. Then it's easier to do it Wednesday night for me anyway.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's like, I don't want to suffer a whole day and not watch this show versus like, I know it's premiering at 7 o'clock at night on a Wednesday, like in the old days kind of thing.
Sure. True.
And I think they're doing that primarily because like example, Black Widow's open up pretty soon and they're going to kind of save those Fridays for theaters now.
Well, so it's just generating that weekly conversation. Right. Yeah. Like, it's like, there's something Marvel happening more days. I wouldn't be surprised if we're not too far in the near future of having multiple Marvel shows per week, kind of like alternating, like Monday night, Wednesday night, kind of like releases, you know, who knows,
man, the world we live in. I'm super pumped.
We're lucky.
All right. We're very lucky. Anyway, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.